All right, good morning, Gospel City. You guys can have a seat and open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. My name is Mitch, and it's a privilege to open God's Word with you again this morning. And while you turn to 1 John chapter 1, I want to begin with some fun facts about the sun. So the first fun fact is that our sun is technically teal. It appears white or yellow to us, but according to one smart person at Stanford, the sun is emitting at all wavelengths, but the one it emits the most of is in the teal visible light spectrum, which means the sun is technically teal. The next fun fact about the sun is so big that 1.3 million Earths could fit inside the sun. 1.3 million. And it's not like the Earth is small, about 50 moons could fit inside the Earth. Next fun fact, the sun is so hot, scientists estimate that at the core, it is about 15 million degrees. 15 million. And just think about how hot boiling water is. And that's only 212 degrees. And now think about 15 million. And it just doesn't even compute. The sun is 93 million miles away. That's so far away that the sunlight, traveling at the speed of light, takes 8 minutes from the sun to reach the Earth. And yet it's so hot that from 93 million miles away, it heats our Earth and gives us life. If we were just a little bit closer to the sun, we would all burn and die. If we were just a little further away from the sun, we would all burn and die, or freeze and die. Excuse me. The sun is amazing because God is amazing. And with these thoughts about the sun in mind, I now want you to think about an ice cube. Imagine if the sun wanted to have a friendship with an ice cube. Imagine if the sun said, "Draw near to me, Mr. Ice Cube, so that we can have fellowship." This would be ridiculous for multiple reasons, but what fellowship does ice have with the sun? Ice can't have a relationship with the sun. Well, last week, we considered the good news that the triune God of the universe has made a way for us to have fellowship with him. And this is the good news of the gospel. And yet, it's also shocking because God's holiness blazes hotter than the sun, and we are sinners to the core. God is light, and we are darkness. Sinners having fellowship with a holy God is about as ridiculous as an ice cube having fellowship with the sun. So the question is, how can we as sinners have fellowship with the God who is holy, holy, holy? With that question in mind, I invite you to look at 1 John 1, verse 5, and hear the word of the Lord. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this proclamation that you are light. You are holy, 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 and in you is no darkness at all. And so as you've gathered us here today, as you've summoned us, as you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light to proclaim your excellencies, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to consider the God that we are praising, to consider the God who we worship, to consider the God who we have been invited into relationship with. Lord, I thank you for 1 John. I thank you for this book and how it is so practical for the Christian life, and yet it is also so exalting of your triune nature, of your divine nature, of your immeasurable power, and your eternal greatness. And so, Lord, as we consider you this morning, as we consider your nature and your character, Lord, I pray that you would help us to confess our sins. I pray that as your light shines the darkness into our, or exposes the darkness in our hearts, that we would have our eyes to see, open our eyes and see the darkness that is there compared to your light, and that we would confess our sins and bring our sins into the light, and we would recognize that your light, the light of your gospel is healing. So Lord, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are merciful. We thank you that you are gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, and yet will by no means clear the guilty. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gospel this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week we saw how John begins his letter with fireworks. He says that Jesus is the God-man, the embodiment of life itself. He says, the eternal one, we have seen him and heard him and touched him. And the reason John is proclaiming to us these amazing things about Jesus is for the purpose of one word. Fellowship. John wants us to believe in the triune God so that we can have fellowship. Fellowship with each other and fellowship with the Father through the Son. And this fellowship with the triune God is the path to infinite, unshakable, eternal joy. Well, in this week's passage, John continues with the topic of fellowship. John wants us to know what it looks like to have fellowship with this triune God. And in order to do so, he addresses the elephant in the room. Sin. I mean, how can sinners have fellowship with a holy God? Well, in this passage, John talks a lot about sin. The word is used 5 times in the five verses. But before John talks about sin, he starts with a statement about God, the sinless one. So that brings us to point number 1. Consider the nature and character of the God with whom we have fellowship. Look down at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So the message that John and the other apostles have heard from Jesus and they want us to know is that God is light. It starts with the nature and the character of God. If we want to talk about how to have fellowship with God, the conversation needs to start with God. And notice how John describes him. He says, God is light. And we need to ask ourselves, well, what does that mean? What does John mean when he says God is light? Well, in the Bible, light is often a metaphor for knowledge or revelation. And darkness is a metaphor for ignorance. So in Ephesians 4, Paul, talking about sinners, says that they are darkened in their understanding. And we use this metaphor in our culture as well. If we say someone's not very bright, it's a nice way of saying that they're not very smart. Well, the Bible also uses light as a metaphor for holiness or for moral purity. And darkness is a metaphor for evil. So Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And I think both of these uses are implied in what John says God is light. So if light represents knowledge and truth, God is the source of all that is true. To say that God is light is to say that God is truth. The same way the sun radiates light and fills the earth so that we can see reality, God radiates truth and knowledge and revelation so that we can understand reality as it really is. He is truth the way that the sun is light. And if light represents holiness or moral purity, God is the reality of holiness. To say that God is light is to say that God is holy. The central truth that radiates from God as he shines like the sun is that he is holy, holy, holy. There is none like him. He is completely other. He is completely devoted to himself. He is perfectly pure and righteous and good and beautiful. Just as the sun radiates light and this light creates heat, God radiates truth, and the truth he radiates is the truth of his holiness. Truth and holiness go together. John Stott says it this way: it is God's nature to reveal himself as it is the property of light to shine, and the revelation is of perfect purity and unutterable majesty. So for God to be light means that he is the radiance of truth and holiness. Now look back at verse 5. It says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And I want to point out that this is redundant to make the point, because how could darkness be in light? I mean, darkness is not a thing. Darkness is simply the absence of light. So by definition, darkness cannot be in light. And yet John doesn't stop there. He says, in him is no darkness at all. God is light, in him is no darkness, and in him is no darkness at all. It's like John is saying the same thing three times. In God, there is not even the slightest hint of deception or falsehood. There is not even one iota of evil inclination or sin. Our God is truth, truth, truth. And the truth that radiates from him day and night is that he is holy, holy, holy. And I think Isaiah 6 really illustrates the point. So you remember when Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, encounters the holiness of God. It starts in verse 1 and says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. It goes on to say, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So when you're in the presence of the sun, it radiates light and heat. And as the angels are in the presence of God, he is radiating the truth that he is holy, holy, holy. And notice Isaiah's response to the holiness of God. In verse 5, he says, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And this is amazing. I mean, Isaiah gets a vision of the radiance of the holiness of God, and his response is he begins to see himself properly by comparison. So the truthfulness of God's holiness helps Isaiah see the truth of his lack of holiness. As the light of God's holiness struck the darkness of Isaiah's heart, he began to melt the way an ice cube melts in the sun. He says, I'm ruined, I'm lost, I'm destroyed. And to be clear, this is not because Isaiah was a scaredy cat or an extra bad sinner. This is how every human being reacts when they encounter the holiness of God. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, Moses was trembling. He hid his face because he was terrified. When God came to give the Ten Commandments, came down to Mount Sinai, the Israelites responded to Moses saying, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. When Jesus transfigured before the disciples and God speaks to them from heaven, the disciples fall on their face, terrified. When John sees the resurrected Lord in Revelation 1, Revelation 1:17 says that he falls down as though dead. So why is falling down on your face in paralyzing terror the standard response to encountering God? Because God is light. And when humans get a glimpse of his holiness, they see the truth of who they are, which is unworthy to be in the presence of holiness. John Calvin says it this way: consider how holy men were struck and overwhelmed when they beheld the presence of God. When we see those who previously stood firm and secure so quaking with terror that the fear of death takes hold of them and they are swallowed up and annihilated, the inference to be drawn is that men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. So Gospel City, this is what it means for God to be light. He is holy, holy, holy. He is so holy and pure and beautiful and good that his holiness fills the earth with his glory. And with this in mind, we should all be asking, what does it look like to have fellowship with this holy God? How can we, mere ice cubes, have fellowship with the God who is light? Well, the rest of the passage deals with this question. And in order to do this, John gives a few examples of fake fellowship. He says, if you say that you have fellowship with God, and yet your life looks like this, your fellowship with God is fake. He gives three examples of this fake fellowship, and then he gives two examples of what true fellowship with God looks like. And so if you'll notice in the passage, the way each verse begins, it's a if we say. It's a back and forth, fake fellowship, genuine fellowship, fake fellowship, genuine fellowship. So we're going to take the examples of fake fellowship one at a time first, and then we'll close considering the two examples of genuine fellowship. So point number two, consider what it looks like when people's fellowship with God is fake. Fake fellowship example number one. Look down at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So remember, darkness is a metaphor for sin or evil, and to walk is a metaphor for a way of life. It's what your life is characterized by. So to walk in darkness refers to someone whose life is characterized by continuous, unrepentant sin. And it's a sad reality that our world is full of people who walk in darkness, but it's even more sad that our world and our churches are full of people who, while they walk in darkness, at the same time claim to be Christians. People claim to have fellowship with the God who is light, and yet their life is full of a love for the darkness. And we all know people like this, people who claim to be Christians and at the same time live with their boyfriend. They say, I have fellowship with God, but at the same time they're pursuing their neighbor's wife. They're enslaved to pornography or alcohol or drugs or gambling. They claim to have fellowship with the God who is light, but their life is full of darkness. Notice what John says about these people. He says they lie, and they do not practice the truth. They lie with their lips because they say, I have fellowship with God, and they lie with their lives because they walk in darkness and do not practice the truth. John calls them double liars. John says people who live like this do not actually know God. Their fellowship with God is fake. We cannot claim to have fellowship with the God who is light while we walk in the darkness. We cannot claim to love our holy God and yet at the same time love what is unholy. If you claim to have fellowship with God while you walk in darkness, your fellowship with God is fake. Fake fellowship example number two. Skip down to verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So this is the next example of fake fellowship. If we say we have no sin. To say you have no sin is to believe that deep down you're a pretty good person. Sure, you've messed up from time to time, but you're not wicked to the core. You think to yourself, Adolf Hitler, now he's a sinner. Murderers, racists, drug dealers, they are sinners. But me, I'm a pretty good person. My nature's not sinful. Sure, I mess up, but I mean well. And yet notice what John says about this type of person. They deceive themselves, and the truth is not in them. In verse 6, John said that they lie and do not practice the truth, but here in verse 8, these people deceive themselves, and the truth isn't even in them. This is even worse. It's one thing to lie to others. It's one thing to know the truth and not practice it, but these people who say they have no sin, they have deceived themselves. They lie to themselves. They are blind. They lack even the slightest bit of self-awareness. The truth is nowhere to be found in them. We need to ask ourselves, why does a person who says that they have no sin, why does that imply that their fellowship with God is fake? Why does thinking that you are good imply that you do not know God? Because remember how Isaiah responded when he met the true and living God? He says, woe is me, I am a sinful man, I am ruined. And this is how everyone responds when they encounter God. You cannot possibly know God and think you have no sin. When you know God, you are confronted by what holiness actually is. And his light lights up the darkness of your heart so that you can see that you are not what he is. The holiness that is brighter than the sun exposes the darkness that is in us. If you are walking in the light, you will see that you have darkness. In Gospel City, one of the biggest indicators that your fellowship with God is fake, I think, is pride. If you are a really religious person, and yet you are also a prideful person, your religion might be worthless. If you read a lot of theology books and you think much of yourself because of it, then you do not believe the theology you read. The more you know God, the humbler you will be. Moses was the humblest man on earth because he knew God more than anyone. So never trust an arrogant theologian. It's like a skinny chef or a fat personal trainer. They don't believe what they're selling. This is why John says your fellowship is fake. If you say you have no sin, you cannot possibly know God and at the same time think much of yourself, to think you are a pretty good person. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Fake fellowship example number 3. Skip down to verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the examples keep escalating from bad to worse. It's one thing to say that your nature is pretty good, but those people still admit that they mess up from time to time. They think, yeah, I mess up, but I'm more good than bad. But the person who says we have not sinned is even more deceived. They don't just think that their nature is good, they think that their actions are good as well. In Gospel City, we are at the point in our culture where sin is not called sin. Instead, we often say that we're victims. Being a drunkard is not a sin. We consider them a victim of the disease of alcoholism. Being addicted to gambling is not a sin. It's a gambling disorder. Anger and rage is not a sin. We say we have a spirit of anger, or it's just our personality. And when we say this, we're saying that our rage is not sin. We're saying that we're just victims of something that we cannot control. Or as John puts it, we say we have not sinned. But it's actually worse than that. We are at the point where we go beyond the victim card, and we actually, in our culture, call evil good. We kill our children in the name of free choice, and we call it health care. We celebrate homosexuality and every other form of sexual perversion under the sun, and we call it love. And this mentality is not just out there in the culture, it's in the church as well. We celebrate greed and materialism and call it the American dream. We worship sports and call it being a good fan. We watch the pornographic movie and say we're mature enough to handle it. We neglect our families on our day off and we call it self-care. We're gluttonous and call it stress eating. We pay more attention to our phone than we do our children or our God, and we think it's not idolatry. We use social media to fuel our lust and our envy and our materialism and our addiction to instant gratification, and we justify it by saying, you know, I had a hard time knowing how we justify that one. But you get to the point. Our day is a lot like Isaiah's day. We call darkness light and light darkness. We call good evil and evil good. And notice what John says about this. He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. The word of God says that all have sinned. From head to toe, we are sinful. No one is righteous, not even one. So if we say we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar by implication. And it means that the word of God, the way the word of God defines what is good and what is evil, we disagree with the way the word defines it. If we call evil good, then his word is not in us. His word has not shaped our worldview. The world has shaped our worldview. If we say we have not sinned, then our fellowship with God is fake. We do not know the God who is light. And so these are 3 examples of fake fellowship that John gives. People who think that sin does not fracture their relationship with God do not know God. People who think they are pretty good deep down do not know the God who is light. And people who think evil is good do not know the God of the Bible. And so, Gospel City, before we move on, let me just make a point, point out the common denominator that is consistent in all three of these examples. And what's consistent in all three is a lack of knowledge of the truth. In the first example, John says, these people lie and do not practice the truth. In the second example, they deceive themselves and the truth is not in them. And in the third example, they accuse God of lying and the word is not in them. And we need to ask ourselves, what truth are these people lacking? What are they ignorant of? And I'd say many things, but I would say it would start with an ignorance of the sinfulness of sin. In each example, they are minimizing sin. They are justifying sin. They're even saying, actually, I'm not even that sinful. Actually, I'm pretty good. Actually, my sin isn't even sin. And this minimizing of sin, people who think this way are ignorant of the sinfulness of sin, and they are ignorant of sin's sinfulness because they are ignorant of God. They do not know God. As we saw in Isaiah 6, a proper view of sin and a proper view of self comes from a proper view of God. So if we have a small view of sin, it's because we have a small view of God, the God who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we could go on. I think these people are also ignorant of the joys of holiness. They think that darkness is better than light, rather than the joy that comes with dwelling in the light of the one in whose presence is the fullness of joy. John Piper says, God is not a killjoy. He is just against anything that kills joy. But we need to move on. Consider, that brings us to point number three. Consider what it looks like when we have true fellowship with the God who is light. So John gives us two examples. He gave us three examples of fake fellowship. Now he's going to give us two examples of genuine fellowship. Number one, people who have fellowship with God walk in the light. They walk in the light. So look back at verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. So to walk in darkness means that we live a life that's characterized by continuous, unrepentant sin. Your life is full of darkness and lies and secrecy. So what does it mean to walk in the light? It means to live a life that is characterized by holiness. It means we love God, and we love what God loves, and we hate what God hates. It doesn't mean we never sin. I think that's really important to hear this morning. Walking in the light doesn't mean you never sin, but it does mean that when you do sin, you call it sin, and you confess it and bring it into the light, and you realize that as you are veering off into the darkness, it is so much better to come back in the light, because God is light, and his light is the presence of the fullness of joy. We repent of it, and we continue to walk in the light as he is in the light. And I want us to notice the blessings of walking in the light. Look back at verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this verse describes two blessings of walking in the light. The first blessing, we have fellowship with other believers. And I think this is beautiful. Verse 6 says that if you walk in darkness, your fellowship with God is fake. So here in verse 7, you would expect to say that if you walk in the light, you will have fellowship with God. Of course, that is true. Walking in the light cultivates a fellowship with the God who is light. Walking in the light is like saying to walk with God. To walk in the light is to commune with God and to enjoy his light the way you enjoy the sun on the beach. But John doesn't stop there. Walking in the light also cultivates fellowship with each other. And if you remember back to last week, these things go hand in hand. If your fellowship with God is genuine, you will have fellowship with other believers. And I think this is obvious when you think about it. Walking in the darkness doesn't just hurt yourself. It hurts the ones you love. Adultery and pornography and anger and alcohol and gambling don't just hurt you. Even if your sin tells you you're only hurting yourself. They don't just hurt you. They destroy the fellowship you have with your loved ones. Sin fractures our fellowship with God and others, but walking in the light cultivates it. If you walk in the light, you will be full of love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness and self-control, and you will be a type of person that other people want to be in relationship with. I mean, this is a tremendous blessing of walking in the light. We enjoy fellowship with God and with other believers. Second blessing that comes from walking in the light, we are cleansed from our sin. Look at verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, Gospel City, this is good news. This verse answers the question that we asked at the beginning. How can sinners be in fellowship with a God who is holy without being incinerated? How can we be like an ice cube? How can we not be like an ice cube in the presence of the Son? And the answer is the blood of Jesus. Notice what it says. It says the blood of Jesus, his Son. The Father sent the Son to be slaughtered on a cross so that we could have fellowship with him. And if we believe this gospel, we're not going to make light of our sin. We're not going to excuse our sin. Believers understand that our sin is so sinful that the innocent Son of God had to be slaughtered on a cross to pay for it. And if we believe this, we're going to hate our sin. We're going to bring our sin into the light because we love the Father. And we don't ever want to make light of something that his Son spilled his blood to pay for. And notice what happens when we do. Look back at verse 7. It says, when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And this is in the present tense. So to be clear, the day you put your faith in Christ, you are justified. You are counted righteous. But in a very real sense, we still need to be made righteous. We need to be cleansed from the sin that clings so closely. And the good news of the gospel is that the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all sin. Not just some sin, not just the minor sins, not just a few sins, all sin. Every occurrence of every sin. He is able to cleanse us from all sin. This is how sinners can have fellowship with a holy God. And this is what it means to walk in the light. Walking in the light doesn't mean you never sin. It doesn't mean you don't have any sin that needs to be cleansed. Instead, it means we do not continue in sin. We do not continue walking in the darkness because we've tasted the light, and the light is so much better than the darkness. We bring our sin into the light. The gospel heals us and transforms us and cleanses us from the darkness the way the sun brings healing to our bodies. Second example of genuine fellowship. People who have fellowship with God confess their sins. They confess their sins. So as we close, we're going to think about 1 John 1:9. In Gospel City, this is one of the most beloved verses in all the Bible, and for good reason. But let me just encourage you. I want us to not let the familiarity of this verse numb us from the amazing gospel realities that it proclaims. So with fresh eyes, even if you've memorized this when you were a kid, with fresh eyes and a fresh heart, look down at verse 9. Let's listen to this as if it's the first time we've ever heard it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So remember the examples of fake fellowship? They say, we don't have sin. But the one who knows God says the opposite. If we know God, we won't say, we don't have sin. We will confess our sins. The word confess literally means to say the same thing. So if we confess our sins, we say the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin. We don't deny our sin or imply that God is a liar. We agree with God that our sin is sin. And here's what this might look like practically. When we commune with God in prayer, we don't just come to him and complain about our circumstances or our situation. We come to it acknowledging that he is holy and we are not. And so we come to him, as we draw near to him, we confess our sin. We recognize that we are in the presence of holiness. We acknowledge our sin, we confess it. And I have found that when I do not desire to commune with God, when my heart is hard towards him, one of the best things I can do is I just start thinking of every sin I can think of and start confessing it. And first of all, I don't run out of things to say. And second of all, it God uses it to help me meditate on his beauty and his grace and his goodness and how he is like a loving father who does not push me away because of my sin, but because of Christ, he invites me to draw near. And he is so merciful and patient and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And as I meditate on his amazing character and the good news of the gospel, my heart begins to melt and I begin to praise him. This is often began by confessing my sin. It's not a wallowing in our sin. It's not a time of self-deprecation. It is praising God for the gospel, confessing, yes, I am darkness, but you are light. Thank you for purging the darkness from me, the God who is light. Other ways we confess our sin in accountability time in small group, we don't just talk about our kids or our jobs or our neighbor's cat. We actually confess our sin to one another because we hate our sin and we love our God. And we need our brothers and sisters to help us, to hold us accountable, to walk in the light. And that is so important. It is worth admitting our sin, the little bit of shame that might come with that. We recognize that we're all sinners. We don't say we have no sin. We're Christians. We confess our sin. And he's faithful and just. I think just another practical way to confess our sin, just throughout the day. As you're walking, as you're working, as you're parenting your kids, you have a sinful thought, a sinful look, a sinful tone. You don't justify it or ignore it. You don't say, well, I'll get to that, I'll confess that tomorrow. No, on the spot, you say, Lord, forgive me, that was wicked. You call it what it is. And I want us to notice what happens when we confess our sins. Look back at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So two beautiful things happen when we confess our sins. We are forgiven and we are cleansed. It's like this cleansing is such good news. John put it in verse 7. He puts it here again in verse 9. God doesn't just remove our guilt. He doesn't just cancel our debt. He doesn't just say, yeah, you're full of darkness, but I'll get over it. He actually cleanses us from the darkness, cleanses the darkness from us. He cleanses us from the effects of our sin. He transforms us and he heals us. He purges us from all unrighteousness. And yet at this point, we should ask, how can God be just and forgive sins? If God is holy, wouldn't it be just for him to punish our sins? Shouldn't this say if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to punish us for our injustice? This is the beauty of the verse. I mean, the answer is back in verse 7 because the blood of Jesus. So God is able to be righteous and at the same time forgive us of our unrighteousness because Jesus died to pay for all of our unrighteousness. As Romans 3 says, God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Or as one commentator put it, God is faithful to forgive because he has promised to do so, and he is just to forgive because his son died for our sins. This is the beauty of the gospel. In Gospel City, this is what it looks like to have fellowship with God. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And as we walk in the light of his holiness will expose the darkness of our sin. And as it does, we don't ignore it or justify it. We confess our sins. We agree with God that our sin is sin. And then the good news of the gospel is that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this is how we as sinners can have fellowship with the God who is light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. And as we close, I want to talk to two different groups in the room this morning. There's two different groups. There's those of us who are walking in darkness and those who are walking in the light. So those who are walking in darkness, you think you have fellowship with God because you have prayed a prayer when you were young, or you got baptized, or maybe you had an experience at camp, or you come to church faithfully, but in reality, you are walking in darkness. Your life is not characterized by holiness and confession of sin and an intimacy with the Lord. You say one thing, and yet you live another way. And if that's you this morning, I want to invite you to confess your sin, to bring your sin into the light and to flee the wrath that is to come, to repent and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, who is able to cleanse you from all of your sin. And if you do, you will find that the light is so much better than the darkness, to the glory of God. God is inviting you into fellowship with Him, and in His presence is the fullness of joy. And so whatever you are clinging to, whatever darkness you are loving, it pales in comparison to fellowship with the God who is light. The second group of us are those who are walking in the light. Your fellowship with God is genuine. Your life is characterized by holiness and confession of sin. And if you are walking in the light, you will be acknowledging that in you is some darkness. The light will be exposing the darkness in your heart. And so if that's you this morning, I want to invite you to also confess your sins. Maybe you're not walking in the darkness, but you've started to dip your toe in the darkness. You've considered the light of God's holiness this morning as we've considered it. What darkness is it exposing in your heart? And I just want to encourage you, don't stuff that. Don't ignore it. Don't justify it. Bring it into the light. Confess your sin. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so here's how we're going to close. Rather than me praying for you, I want you, each one individually in your chair where you're at, to pray to the Lord and to pray to the God who is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And ask Him to expose the darkness that is in your heart. Confess that sin to the Lord and experience the joy of coming into the light. I'm going to give you a few minutes and then the team is going to come and close us as we worship the God who is light.